like getting married, Nathan.
Careful now.
Exceptionally brilliant for a lot of people, and Mbappe has that quality.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.
Now you're very welcome, Mac. Half an hour gone between Spain and Sweden. It is nil all in that game. Spain have had a monopoly on possession. I mean, I would say the stats are must be well into the 80s, because Sweden just have not touched the ball. They're defending very deeply and Spain are just knocking it around and starting to create chances as well. So you would feel it's only a matter of time before Spain make the breakthrough. 31 minutes gone, nil all, Spain against Sweden, but you do feel a goal is coming. We're going to turn to the weekend's Gaelic football now. So the league situation has been sorted out. I mean, we're not going to have finals, really, it would seem, in the main. But we do know who's up and who's down. So in Division 1, well, joint winners are Kerry and Dublin, certainly. Relegated Roscommon, and in pretty dramatic circumstances, Galway. Up to Division 1 next year will be Mayo and Kildare. They prevailed against Clare and Meath, respectively. Relegated down to Division 3. Laois go down, as do Westmeath. Up from Division 3, awfully thrilled to get back up to Division 2, first time in a while, and Derry join them. I suppose the big story from Division 3 is that the two provincial champions of 2020, Cavan and Tipperary, will play in Division 4 next year. And then up to Division 3, Louth and Enda McGinley having a great year with Antrim. They go up to Division 3 next season. Very happy to say Cora Staunton joins us. Hey, Cora.
Hi, JP. How are you?
Good. It's Joe here, actually. JP's the fellow who was nagging you all day. How you doing?
Hi, Joe. How are things? How are you? I'm not too bad now.
Good. You're just back from Australia, I'm told, JP was saying.
Yeah. I'm back a week now. So, yeah, getting back to the cold weather. Still waiting for the heat wave to arrive in Mayo, but it hasn't arrived.
Well, this is as good as it's getting. So when do you go back out, or what's the plan, or is it all scheduled?
No, that's all to be confirmed.
Okay.
Decisions are to be made quite quickly.
Right.
Probably by the end of the week. The sign and trade period is on at the moment, so we have to. I think it's decided by the end of the week whether we're going back or not. So
okay.
Yeah, a few decisions to be made by probably Friday, I'd say.
Right, and is that a decision for you to make, or is that a decision for them to make, and you're waiting on the call?
No, that's a decision. I've been offered a contract again for next year. So, yeah, it's a decision for me to be to make myself. Whether I want to put in another year and, obviously play another season and stuff. It's probably a little bit more complicated because the season is a bit earlier this year. Pre-season starts first week in September, which is obviously not too far away.
Mm.
Club championship runs a bit later this year, so yeah, there's a lot of factors to weigh up. All of that hotel quarantine is still in place in Australia, so that will have to be gone through again. So yeah, just weighing up the factors. You know, I'm lucky I'm with a club that understand that my club here in Mayo or in Cairn and Cone are very important to me. So they're very willing to obviously let me play some sort of club season here and go back a bit later if I do decide to go back. So yeah, just a few chats need to be had with people.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm only home a week and I'm only out of self-isolation on Saturday night. So and already played a club match yesterday. So yeah, the body's a bit sore today.
Okay. So we wanted to look back on the weekend that was. Strange, eventful, exciting, interesting weekend all wrapped up into one. We might start with Saturday evening, because I think a lot of people were really looking forward to those two Division 1 semi-finals live on TV. I know I certainly got home to watch them. And like, Kerry 6-15, Tyrone 1-14, Clifford with a penalty, Gavin White, Gainey scored two, Darragh Moynihan. Brian Duher said, "We are concerned, although we know we're not as bad as that. Kerry will take some beating." This one's very hard to know what to make of it. Like, more so from the Tyrone perspective. We know Kerry are good. We know Kerry can do damage. But what do you read into what Tyrone are about at the moment?
Yeah, it's obviously very difficult. Watching the game on Saturday evening, how explosive and creative and, you know, direct Kerry were, and just how poor defensively, I suppose Tyrone were, and how wide open they were in their defence, which is not Tyrone-like at all. I suppose, obviously, with a change of managers, Mickey Hart and his style of play gone, and Brian Doerr and the co-managers coming in, things have changed from the, you know, a little bit to the way you play. So, yeah, it's quite worrying. You know, Kerry were attacking at ease at times and getting through that to our own defence. And I suppose the way that the league is this year and in championship rolls, you know, 2 weeks later, there's not much time to fix a lot of these problems. Yeah, I agree. You know, probably Tyrone weren't as bad as shown on Saturday evening. But, you know, they still have a lot of worries. And we know how dogged Ulster football is. And especially, again, this year, you know, the second year that the championship is knockout. So once you lose, you're out. So you can't afford to have a bad game. And, yeah, I can see Tyrone are worried. Their forwards were well held for the majority of the game. And their defence certainly struggled right throughout with that Kerry attack in Paris.
Because they've been very definitely trying to move away from a more pragmatic defensive mode of play to a bit more direct and a bit more attacking. I would think after an annihilation like that, which is what it was in the first half, when you concede five goals, I think it's like the 1940s since they conceded five goals in a half, the senior men's team. There must be real temptation now if you're Doerr and Logan to sit around and say, look, we can't risk that kind of an embarrassment in our first year here. We might just need to go back to bodies behind the ball, typical Tyrone football here, because some of those players were just not able to defend man for man at times.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, if you've been in a system, you know, a lot of them players for Tyrone have been around a long time and have been used to playing a certain system, you know, under Mickey Hart for a number of years. It's very difficult to change over a short period of time of playing that system to, you know, particularly play nearly one-on-one football like they're doing where Tyrone were playing. Obviously, with a huge defensive structure, when Mickey Hart was there with their half forwards, you know, dropping back and at times maybe playing just two in attack. So, you know, to change that in a short period, especially again with the COVID season that it's been not as many league games and a shorter lead in with pre-season and everything, it's very difficult. So, yeah, I suppose it's a big decision whether they want to go back to the system that the Tyrone team played under Mickey Hart or go back to a little bit more of a defensive system. I think they're going to have to do something like that because, as I said, Ulster football, you know, it's a very dogged type of system up there that they have to try and get through. And it's not easy, you know, and as I said, one defeat and you're out. So, yeah, they have a huge lot to ponder over the next kind of 10 days before they're out in 2 weeks' time. So, yeah, it's difficult, you know, they're certainly going to have to look at a number of different things over the next couple of sessions.
Yeah, I guess what? They might have four or five pitch sessions to try and sort this thing out. So it's going to be really interesting. So that game happens. Kerry, look, a joy. And they've done this to Galway as well. So it's no fluke. And you really hope they just go at the championship and play that kind of attacking brand of football. So Dublin and Donegal then took to the pitch knowing there wouldn't be a league final no matter what. I got it, like, we've all been looking forward to Donegal having a crack at Dublin for a long time now. It finished 118 to 114. And you thought, okay, Michael Murphy not being in there is a massive blow, clearly. But you thought, they'll have a go. And actually, it was like an approach from 4 or 5 years ago kind of football where they got men behind the ball. It felt slow. It felt conservative. When Dublin scored that goal about a half hour in, I felt like I felt when Tyrone beat or when Dublin beat Tyrone in an All-Ireland final a couple of years ago and scored a goal and you just thought, well, there's no way back now. It just seemed like like Donegal didn't have a crack at them, you know, just didn't go for it. You wonder, is there a degree of like shadow boxing here and we'll save that plan for when it really counts, or is this how they think they're going to beat Dublin?
Yeah, it's very interesting. I felt the exact same way when I was watching. I didn't actually feel any stage, even early in the game, that, you know, this was a game that Dublin were going to lose. They always kind of looked in control and like that. When they got that killer goal, it's kind of like, oh, you know, we just, you know, hold possession, you know, they're patient in their build-up play, you know, it's just a joy to watch, you know, and they've been doing it for the last number of years. Yeah, so I was quite disappointed with Donegal. Yeah, okay, they were down a few men, and especially Michael Murphy, you know, from an attacking point of view. But yeah, I just think that Dublin are just a different outfit. They're built to do this year in, year out. And you know, players, it goes back to Tyrone on their system. Dublin have been playing this system for years. Yeah, they have a new manager in Desi Farrell. He's tweaked one or two things and brought in a couple of new players, but they're playing to the same system that they've been playing for the last number of years when Jim Gavin was in charge. And I just think, yeah, I don't know if Donegal believes that they go out and beat them. I don't know know if it's shadow boxing. Again, I don't think you can shadow box in a season like this, and I certainly don't think Donegal can. When you look at the route that they have to go through Ulster to even get out, to a potential All-Ireland semi-final, you know, that's a long way off. It's four games that they have to play before they get out to a semi-final, I don't think they could meet Dublin potentially till an All-Ireland final. So. It was a little bit disappointing, but you have to really marvel at the class of Dublin. You know, at times it didn't look like they even got out of third gear. And, you know, they're just so composed. They know exactly what they're doing. Every player knows exactly what they're doing. And, being a Mayo supporter, you know, you just have to look at them. And they're a joy to watch. They're such a well-oiled machine. And, while we marveled at Kerry the couple of hours before, it probably just looks like someone like them with their direct pace and power that maybe potentially could beat them. But it's very difficult to see that happening.
Yeah, I know. At the start of the year, I thought, well, Dublin could be really pushed this year. And the more I see them just operating so, as you said, well-oiled machine, third gear, you kind of think, God, they actually are as good as ever. And so, you know, you said that Kerry approach might rattle them. And I guess Mayo have had a bit of success having a real go in that way. Do Donegal have the footballers to do that? Like, do you think if they were to meet in an All-Ireland final, certainly based on yesterday, I guess, but do you think regardless, like, the Donegal attitude should be, let's just go all out here, high pace, let's not drag loads of men back necessarily and have a bit more adventure? Or how do you see Donegal's players? Maybe they don't have what Kerry have.
Yeah, I think they have to a certain point. I don't think they have the depth that Kerry have. I think when you look at the six Kerry forwards from Saturday evening, you know, I don't think Donegal have this six forwards to match them. And unfortunately then from a bench point of view, Kerry certainly have more depth. So I do think that Donegal could be a little bit more adventurous and probably not get as many bodies behind the ball. But I certainly don't think at this time that they have enough forward power to really test out that Donegal or that Dublin defensive unit. But when you say a defensive unit, it's not two to seven. It's probably at this stage, you know, two to 13, two to 14. I just don't think they have enough power up front. And you know, we'll see with Michael Murphy being back. Will it make a difference? Yeah, it definitely will. But I just think that they just don't have enough firepower. Probably don't have enough pace and speed and directness to get at that Dublin defensive unit.
Yeah, it certainly looked that way at the weekend. By the way, there's the Stephen Cluxton mystery, I suppose. We don't know, is he injured? Is he coming back? Is he not coming back? So Comerford's in there and probably doing just fine. You would think, I mean, Cluxton is Cluxton, so you'd welcome him back with open arms, but Comerford seems to be warming to the task very nicely.
Yeah, it's difficult to see. Obviously, Stephen has given a huge service to Dublin, and like myself now, age isn't on his side, but I'd be surprised if that's the way he bows out. You know, he's an ultra competitive person, and it's probably no harm to give his understudy a chance in there for the National League, and you know, a run of games that you're not just in and out every second game. So I still think he's a driving force behind that Dublin team, and I do think we'll see him at some stage come Championship. You know, for Dublin now. They're into Leinster Championship. There's probably nothing to test them within, you know, 10, 12, even more points. So, you know, they're probably gearing really now for an All-Ireland semi-final, you know, which I think is early August. So, they're different to most teams, you know, to Donegal now, who are, as I said, facing into, I think, four matches to try and win an Ulster title. And even the likes of Mayo, Cork, Kerry, they probably have a little bit of a harder route, you know, to try and get to an All-Ireland semi-final, where I think Dublin now can, you know, look towards an All-Ireland semi-final. And I think, you know, they have probably Connacht opponents. Who that will be, we don't know yet.
So we have Mayo and Galway going in opposite directions in the league. Mayo going up to Division 1. They beat Clare by 4 points. They were 11 up at half-time, and then things... I mean, Mayo just don't do boring, so invariably it got a bit wild, and Clare, in fairness, upped their performance in the second half. So Mayo won that by 4. There's obviously a worry over Killian O'Connor's injury on his 100th appearance, which is extraordinary. He's an amazing, amazing record. And then Galway go the other way, courtesy of Jack McCarron's left boot, 94th minute winner. So that put an end to Galway's Division 1 status. We had the likes, you know, Paddy Andrews was on the morning show this morning, and he was saying he'd be amazed if Galway get the better of Mayo and Connacht. It does look that way. It does look like Mayo still have everybody in Connacht pretty much at arm's length as well. Or are you seeing something in Galway that would give you a major cause for concern?
No, I do think Mayo are still favourites within Connacht, but there was stages yesterday watching Galway. They're a very exciting attacking team to watch at times, but you know, can be very frustrating, very inconsistent. As in, at times they're attacking and doing very well, but then you know, a silly turnover and they concede a goal, you know, or concede a score. I do think they have a lot of good young talent coming through there. Young Tierney, young Finnerty yesterday were excellent for Galway. So I do think they've the basis of a lot of good young talent coming through. I just don't feel that, like Mayo, their older, more established players are probably as influential as Mayo's players are. So the likes of Killian, Aidan O'Shea, you know, Lee Keegan, Kevin McLaughlin. Yeah, while Galway have the likes of Paul Conroy and them players, I think Mayo's players are probably more influential in that case. So, yeah, you know, obviously it's very difficult to judge Mayo off a Division 2 campaign. There is, even watching the two games, you know, on Saturday evening and watching Mayo's game yesterday, there is a drop in intensity and you know, skill level. And you could see, you know, Mayo went 11 points up. And, you know, that third quarter, they just, I don't know whether it was Killian's influence going off. I think he's a huge factor for them. If Killian's injured, depending on how serious his injury is, you know, he's a key man. I think their forwards struggled. They looked rudderless, you know, up front with Killian not there. So I do think, you know, Division 2 football at times, you know, probably doesn't show the true Mayo. I think if they're coming up against quality opposition like Dublin, the likes of Kerry, the likes of Tyrone. So I worry for that. You know, obviously they have probably a bit of an easier run within Connacht. Obviously Sligo out and then Leitrim. So before they get to a Connacht final against either Galway or Roscommon, you know, they will have get more matches under their belt. But, you know, I think that'll be their real first test, you know, of Galway and Roscommon of a Division 1 side will be in the Connacht final. So, yeah, while I agree with Paddy in some ways that, you know, Mayo are favourites and are in poor position, I just don't think he can write off Galway. Their performance yesterday at times, you know, was excellent. And it's just a couple of errors. And is that a lack of experience from some of the younger players? In the match yesterday, that match was won yesterday at times, and I suppose they just let Monaghan back in. So yeah, it's difficult to know. It'll be close, and again, I think a lot will come down to Killian's injury, how serious he is, and how quick he can get back on the pitch, because he's a huge player for Mayo going forward, and obviously the championship is quite condensed this year. So you know, if you're out for a month or 6 weeks, that's the majority of the championship gone.
Yeah. So basically, as the league comes to a close, it would seem Dublin still, everybody's now firm of favourites as ever. Kerry, definitely a big threat, and probably more question marks over Donegal and Tyrone than we might have had pre-league.
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, Dublin have been obviously shown good form through the league. I think obviously Kerry have been the form team of the championship, and obviously people are talking them up, and, you know, probably the only team at the moment that can really challenge Dublin this year. As I said, as it falls this year, it's Connacht and Leinster and Munster and Ulster in the semi-finals. So it could potentially be you know, a Dublin Kerry final. But you know, we've seen what happened last year with Kerry. Again, when you go to the knockout phase of football, you only get one opportunity. And you know, for long periods last year against Cork in the Munster semi-final, you know, they really struggled, and ultimately, you know, Mark Keane's goal in the last minute knocked them out of championship. But yeah, you'd hope they've learned from that. If you look back to 2019, that kind of Kerry team that, you know, brought Dublin to the draw in All-Ireland, that's the team that we've been seeing right throughout this league campaign. And I think Peter Keane have brought in a couple of players this year that has kind of taken a little bit of pressure off Clifford, even though he's still having a remarkable season. But you know, when you look at his brother that has come in, I think Daniel Moynihan and full forward, the likes of these players, you know, are doing a huge amount of work for the likes of, you know, the stars of Ganey and Clifford to shine. So and Sean O'Shea. So yeah, they've brought in, and I think they've tightened up their defence a little bit. So yeah, you'd obviously say Kerry are there that can challenge Dublin, but you'd have to say Dublin are firm favourites going in for Sam Maguire again this year.
Yeah. I wonder in what year we won't be saying that over the next while. Cora Staunton, thanks, Mill. Appreciate it.
No bother at all.
Cheers.
Thanks,
Mill. Cora Staunton there, who we'll see, maybe going back out to Australia or staying put. She'll decide later this week, she was saying to us there. Latest in the Euros, nil-all between Spain and Sweden halftime.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Black Box Car Insurance lets young drivers bounce past high-cost premiums. Drive safe and save more with GetZetGo.ie.